One of the thoughts that you were thinking were not yours, but placed there. Today we talk about mind control on the Soul Trap. Thank you for tuning in. We trust that you're able to tune in good health, good spirits, and on that good and narrow way. We are going to be talking today about mind control. This came to my mind very clearly after seeing a report not long ago of Sirhan Sirhan, the poster boy for mind control of all mind control, being stabbed in prison. Of course, the report states that he's doing okay now, I think, but you never know how those things work out. The Guardian reports 75-year-old killer hospitalized after being wounded in jail in San Diego. Saturday, August 31st, 2019, Sirhan Sirhan, who has been jailed for more than 50 years for the assassination of Senator Robert F. Kennedy, was in stable condition in hospital on Saturday after being stabbed by a fellow inmate. A statement from the State Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation said the stabbing occurred on Friday afternoon at the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility. Officers responded quickly and found an inmate with stab wound injuries, the statement said. He was transported to an outside hospital for medical care and is currently in stable condition. However, I would not be surprised, as I veer now from The Guardian, I would not be surprised if suddenly Sirhan Sirhan decides that he needs to go ahead and commit suicide by hanging himself and breaking his neck in repeated places, or possibly by cutting his wrist and bleeding to death while cutting his wrist 75 times, or maybe slitting his own throat, and then after he's dead for an hour, taking a gun and shooting himself in the back of the head. All of these things are common suicides by those that are enemies of the government, of the people, for the people, and by the people these days. Today we are going to be talking about mind control. There is such a wealth of information, from Project Artichoke to MK Ultra to the church hearings, you name it, you got it. Mind control. How far has our government gone, and to what ability does our government have to be able to affect the mind and the body of others? In a New York Times article, 25th person at U.S. Embassy in Cuba is mysteriously sickened. This is from June 1st, 2018. Another diplomat working at the United States Embassy in Havana has been sickened by a mysterious attack, bringing to 25 the number of personnel who have fallen ill there. The case was the first confirmed in Cuba since August and could suggest that whatever caused the illness in late 2016 and the first part of 2017 has started again or was continuing. Complicating the situation for officials was news this spring that at least one diplomat at a consultant in China had experienced symptoms almost identical to those reported by diplomats in Havana. So it's not just the water in Cuba. I know there's something going on globally. Officials have frankly admitted in background conversations that they still have no idea who or what may be behind the attacks, but a growing number of committees and organizations are looking into the problem. Well, that only goes to assure us that the problem shall remain unsolved. There is an interagency working group led by the Deputy Secretary of State, John J. Sullivan, with representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Justice Department. Quote, the interagency community continues to work diligently to determine the cause of the symptoms as well as develop mitigation measures, the State Department spokeswoman said at an afternoon news briefing. Another employee from the Havana Embassy is still being evaluated by doctors to determine if that person fits the profile of those who have fallen ill. The State Department has brought dozens of diplomats and other personnel back from China and Cuba for evaluation, in some cases to obtain baseline health information in case problems arise later. The affected personnel exhibit several health problems that resemble those caused by brain trauma, such as concussion, sharp ear pain, dull headaches, tinnitus, vertigo, disorientation, nausea, and extreme fatigue. In April, the first diplomat to be evacuated complained of hearing odd sounds and experiencing headaches and dizziness, symptoms almost identical to the ones that diplomats in Cuba complained of. American investigators initially said the illness in Cuba could have been the result of sonic attack, although experts, always experts to save the day, have since expressed skepticism. Well, that's what you have to be an expert. That any kind of sonic weapon or exotic weapon could have produced the problem reported. What is affecting these people? Well, even after backing away from the notion of a sonic weapon, officials said they were certain that a deliberate attack had occurred, one they said could not have happened without the Cuban government being aware of. Even though China has a surveillance infrastructure at least as sophisticated and pervasive as Cuba's State Department, officials have been careful not to make similar accusations of culpability toward Beijing. Of course, we always got to keep the Chinese in good humor. But why blame the Cubans and why blame the Chinese? Maybe it's us or them or somewhere in between. We are living in such strange times. The other day I was watching a video and running the gauntlet of looking at YouTube videos and doing research, and came across what is now popular. Now it's probably, you've seen it if you've been on Facebook, but it was a deep fake video. The guy's face changed. He was talking like Tom Cruise, and subtly and yet distinctly he took on the form of Tom Cruise. Another instance, he was talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Another instance, he was talking like Al Pacino. And unless you called it, you would have sworn you were looking at Al Pacino. Ever so subtly changed into Tom Cruise, then Seth Rogen. Several sites, and eventually probably the Soul Trap, were sitting there questioning, when does this technology, and how is this technology going to be used to falsely frame people that stand against the state, against the party line? Governments have always sought the power of technology to sustain their hegemony, to keep their absolute power. Over other governments, certainly over the people, seems to be the case. Things that were the subject of movies just a couple decades ago are now things we are seeing unfold before our very eyes. Toffler was prescient, he was prophetic, but he, even in the third wave, could not even begin to imagine what we are seeing now. What is real? What is fake? What is somewhere in the nebulous gray between the known and the unknown? And then there is this article and subject we are dealing with today. The ability of those in power to control your mind, not by electric shock and waterboarding, not by torture and drug use, but at a distance. To put into your mind thoughts that you did not think. To affect your body in ways at a distance you could not possibly imagine. The article that I'm reading from states, quote, government accidentally releases documents on psychoelectric weapons. Great. They were mistakenly sent to a journalist. The article by David Grossman, dated April 19th, 2018. The government has all kinds of secrets, but only a true conspiracy theorist might suspect that the psychoelectric weapons are one of them. So it's odd that Muckrock, a news organization that specializes in filing Freedom of Information Act requests with the state and federal government bodies, received mysterious documents about mind control, seemingly by accident. Journalist Curtis Waltman was writing to the Washington State Fusion Center, a joint operation between Washington State law enforcement and the federal government, to request information about Antifa and white supremacist groups. He got responses to the question he asked, but he also got a file titled EM Effects on Human Bodies, .zip. Inside were documents. Now, if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see the document that I am looking at, but it is a stunning document that you'll have to do your own research on. It has a picture. Imagine the outline, almost like the Da Vinci's man standing there with his arms out. It's the outline of a man. Actually appears to be a woman, which is very interesting, all in its own of its satanic origin. But it has points, lines drawn to different points on the body. And all around this document, it has what can be affected. For instance, forced memory blanking and induced erroneous actions. And then it has a point on the brain where you would, I guess, tap into that area. Induced changes to hearing, both apparent directions and volume, and sometimes even content. Sudden violent itching inside the eyelids. Forced manipulation of airways, including externally controlled forced speech, racing heart without a cause, remotely induced violent non-rash itching, forced nudging of arm, special attention to genital area, intense pain, forced precision manipulation of hands, sometimes synced to forced waking visions. Is this what they were able to produce? Is this what they were trying to produce? Strange, to say the least. Why was this sent? Was it by accident? It is very stunning. There's a lot of technical data of their ability to be able to reach out and touch remote brain mapping, remote mind control, emission or wave propagation to make communication, to identify any object emitting frequency. Human body emit very low electronic signal as temperature heat in the delta, theta, alpha, beta, and gamma. There is a bioelectronic electromagnetic field which is unique for every human body. This is electronic signal frequency ID. In other words, you have an electronic ID. It kind of makes you wonder what the mark of the beast might actually be. The article states that at least some of the images appear to be part of an article in Nexus magazine describing a 1992 lawsuit brought by one John St. Clair against the NSA. He claimed that the NSA had the ability to assassinate U.S. citizens covertly or run covert psychological control operations. So, 1992, this cat brings a lawsuit that says the NSA had the ability to assassinate U.S. citizens covertly. Well, they weren't real covert about Jeffrey Epstein, but they were about Danny Casolaro. Rich. Seth Rich, I think, was his name. Others. The ability to assassinate U.S. citizens covertly or run covert psychological control operations to cause subjects to be diagnosed ill with mental health. Huh. You better watch out about these red flag laws. You never know when you might be diagnosed with mental health issues. Nexus was and still is an Australian magazine focused on the unexplained, conspiracy theories, alternative medicine, and the like. It covered the case in 1996, but was unable to get the complainant to discuss it. I tried, the writer said, ringing him to find out what was the outcome, if any, of his court case. He firmly but kindly told me that he could not speak about anything to do with the case over the phone and hung up. Of course not. He doesn't want to be hung from his garage ceiling. After his wrists have been cut and he shoots himself in the head, you get the idea. The federal government has absolutely experimented with mind control. That is a fact. in a variety of methods, but the documents here do not appear to be official. That's what's very interesting about it. Waltman had no idea. The receiving attendant of the documents, the journalist, had no idea why these documents were included in his request and isn't sure why the government is holding them. The WSFC, the Washington State Fusion Center, did not respond to requests for more information. Well, duh. They did it. But the question is this an isolated event? Did they happen to be in possession of some rather weird and quirky documents and somehow or another, either by hook or by crook, by accident, or by some sort of a, I don't know, frat boy-like joke, they sent it to this guy? In other words, is it isolated or is it more? Is it more than just a strange and mistaken case? Or is there something deeper that has taken place? The question is, how deep does the Matrix really go? Well, to that, we go to Muckrock itself. Now, if you're going to do any kind of real research, you need to be familiar with muckrock.com, M-U-C-K-R-O-C-K.com. This is no fly-by-night. Their files requested, their data research is unbelievable, and it doesn't take a lot of research on the Muckrock site to come across this article. Veterans of the NSA. Now, didn't we just hear about the NSA in 1992 from our gentleman that was bringing the lawsuit but didn't want to talk about it because he didn't want to be hung from the garage after he blew his brains out? Yeah, the NSA. Veterans of the NSA's psychic wars. Oops. Agency called for worldwide psychic registry? Expected mind control as a practical military concern by the 1990s. Last week, the article states, we looked at the early days of the CIA's foray into extrasensory espionage. Today we will be following up with the veterans of the NSA's psychic wars, which they foresaw being waged well into the 90s and beyond. The NSA document, dated from early 1981, calls for a number of steps to be taken, including identifying the potential for mind control. Yowzer. Once the individuals had been identified, the agency wanted to create cadres of talented, synergized, gifted people for special problem-solving tests. You know, it's so funny. The more we go, the more we come back, right? Seems to me that Nebuchadnezzar had soothsayers, astrologers, and magicians around him. Seems to me before him that Pharaoh had magicians around him. And now here we are on the cutting edge of technology in the 20th century, and yet still our leaders have magicians around them. However, the NSA was afraid that these people could be hard to control. Morbid people of talent must be strictly screened out of active programs because of the danger of severe mental illness and unscrupulous violation of security. Beyond personnel available to the NSA, the agency wanted to build a database of psychics around the world. I'm looking at the documents here. You can find it on Muckrock. Additional NSA documents produced by the government later in the year after MKUltra had been quote-unquote shut down and all mind control programs had been disavowed show the government's continued interest in researching mind control techniques, no matter how esoteric they seemed. A number of the predictions were made about the development of psychic warfare, including that subconscious mind control through telepathy would be possible by 1990. The report concluded grimly that there is no known countermeasure to prevent such applications. At least one prediction came true. CREST, C-R-E-S-T, documents show psychic trials still being performed as late as, wait for it, 1992. The declassified top secret data shows the nature and vulnerability of targets and communications should be tested, and the degree of weakness determined, the mind of the transmitting person, the electrical signal transmitting the message or the key. the paper text, the intuitive insightful gifts, remote viewing, telepathy, precognition, clairvoyance, target detection, defensive blocking, what triggers the capability, how it individually functions, likely targets, intensity and specific target of nature, or field, damage effect caused, defensive measures, whether they are even capable of defending. Well, you say, thankfully that was back in the 90s, 80s, but we're past all that, man. We're good. We're in the 21st century now. Yeah, but there are still people that are a little bit worried about that. Yeah, February 8th, 2017, another article on Muckrock. Senate worried CIA psychic program was part of a mind control plot. Quote, I am glad that this is classified. One senator said, and I believe it should stay classified. Written by Emma Best and edited by J. Pat Brown, buried in the Stargate section of the Crest release, and if you've not followed the Crest release, you need to look into that information, is a letter from Congressman Charlie Rose, the chairman of the Subcommittee on Evaluation, regarding the Intelligence Community's psychic program. Although short, the letter highlights a concern that was to be repeated by many outside of government for decades, that the program was part of a CIA mind control activities, where in some cases the rights of individuals were violated. Oh, that's all? In some cases, the rights of individuals were violated. Who? Individual. What individuals? What rights? When did it happen? How did it happen? And why has nobody gone to jail yet? According to the letter to the other committee members, this was the issue that first brought their attention to the matter. The fear wasn't entirely unjustified. As one program ended at the same time, the other began, and the two programs shared rather infamous personnel. The subcommittee began its investigation in an attempt to determine whether the community's activities in this area were above board and not part of the, quote, mind control activities of the Central Intelligence Agency, where in some cases the rights of individuals were violated. The letter goes on to say that the committee hadn't made any, quote, any determination to endorse the experimentation, as valid or invalid, but it does find that continued activity in this field may offer promise in applications to intelligence problems. Therefore, Congressman Rose was scheduling a briefing from Dr. Puthoff and Targ, who were involved in the project, warning about people's sensitivity to the strangeness of parapsychology and that the uninformed would be label such research more mind control experimentation. Congressman Rose argued that this should all be kept confidential. We certainly don't want this stuff getting out to the people. We wouldn't want them to know that their government is experimenting with mind control. Wait a second. We wouldn't want them to know that their government is successful with mind control. Congressman Rose argued that this should all be kept confidential. According to a memo summarizing the later briefing, Congressman Rose again argued that the information should all stay classified. The subject of mind control did come up once during the briefing in an answer to Congressman Rose. According to the briefing, most of the Soviet Union's research, allegedly much better funded than the CIA, was into telepathy and mind control, a reoccurring theme in briefings and documents on psychic programs and the psychic gap. According to a final note from Congressman Rose, the project was fully supported by the House Standing Intelligence Oversight Committee and the House Armed Service Appropriation Committee. Thanks in part to Congress's secret support, these programs were officially kept running all throughout the 90s. It is easy to find the full letter now embedded below here in the Muckrock document. But the fact of the matter is, it hasn't stopped. It goes on today. So, who's controlling who? Who's in charge of what? who work for the CIA? What kind of people do you see on TV that are agents of mind control? What kind of people do you see on TV that are the result of mind control? What is going on out there? It is a very, very interesting world of mind control. The question is not whether mind control is real. The question now is, who's really controlling the mind?